Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right, for just $20, we'd say your name here. We'd say something nice about you, and maybe we'd look at your fancy hat and say, wow, that's a great fancy hat. Just go to nerdandtie.com, click on the sponsorship information, and for $20, all of this could have been about you and not about a hypothetical person. Wouldn't that make you feel better? Also, you can contribute to our legal fund by going to gofundme.com/nerdandtie. It's a magical thing you can do, and you should do at least 5 magical things before Sunday. So get on it! Or no, or don't. I don't know. I don't control your life.
On this episode of Nerd and Tie, Black Widow finally has a director, an incident happened at Kineticon, and our big topic today, what do you always carry in the bag you bring with you to convention? All that and more on Nerd and Tie. I am one third of your hosting team, Ken Prock, and with me, more fun than Ultra Checkers, it's Trey Dorn.
I don't know what Ultra Checkers are, but I know that I am more fun than them, and I'm wearing pants.
And sweeter than Cheerwine is Nick Azumi.
The only reason I know what Cheerwine is because we sell it at the store that I send things to, and we broke a box of it, so there's tons of it in the fridge in my break room.
I love Cheerwine. I just can't get it up here.
I mean, I know what Cheerwine is in the sense that, like, I know what it is, but since I've never had it, I have no opinion on whether or not it's good.
It's really good. I had a float of it once in North Carolina. And I got hooked.
You got a serious problem, man.
I know.
Oh.
Gotta cut back on that stiff.
So I did so Letterkenny is live on Hulu, and so I've watched both seasons that are up there.
And I haven't, because I was at a god dang anime convention all weekend.
That's right.
I was at the same convention.
That's right. You guys were at Anime Iowa, and I'm totally, like, trying to make this conversation sound spontaneous since we're totally not re-recording it a second time after Skype crapped out on us the first time. So how was Anime Iowa, guys?
It was good. They moved locations. They outgrew the Coralville location. And I honestly really like the Coralville location. I really like that space. I hope another convention, like, moves in there.
But I was only there 1 year and I loved it.
Right. But, like, they moved into, like, more of, like, an expo center.
Okay.
So the only weird bit was that, like, the room, like, the vendor hall was absolutely massive. And they did absolutely nothing to try to make to get rid of the empty space that was left in there.
Like, they didn't even pipe and drape it off, or?
No. There was just
so much empty space in there that, like, even though in the rest of the con, you could tell there were, like, a butt ton of people. There were so many people there.
Mm-hmm.
And you could feel it in the rest of the con. But as soon as you got into the vendor room, the space was so huge that everybody just, like, spread out and it felt like no one was there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was unfortunate.
Like, which, I mean, yeah, it's not, like, there were people there. It just didn't feel like it in that particular room.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have appreciated them organizing the space a little bit better and cordoning off some of the empty areas to make it feel smaller.
Like, that's when you, like, do something like combine the vendor room with the gaming area or something and, like, you know, line up.
Yeah.
With, like, tabletop, yeah.
Yeah.
It was really weird because, like, the rest of what I saw, the rest of the layout seemed good. It was just that room was really weird.
Yeah. But I'm sure that, you know, as they grow even further, they'll need all that space. So,
yeah. And you guys are, both of you are like, you know, he just did a Con This Week in B. You guys are both going to be at KitsuneCon next weekend, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doubleheading it.
I gotta go get some laundry done too, because I've had requests for one of my at least one of my cosplays from Iowa again for next weekend. So, yeah, look for me and my friend. We will be double sabers. It'll be great.
We managed to make this whole conversation feel almost natural this time.
I know, it's wonderful.
We're so great. And
so good.
I, of course, won't be at KitsuneCon because I'm going to be sitting on a lake. And sitting on a lake is pretty nice. And while I love conventions, I love sitting on a lake more.
Can't knock sitting on a lake.
You know what else is nice?
What is nice?
When movies get directors.
In the headlines!
Making us love do doing a show. Nice segues. Actually,
okay. I really like... No, that was a really good segue. I like that.
Yeah, so Black Widow is getting a movie. We've known about this for a while. Finally, it's getting a director, which is awesome.
Hooray!
Yay! The person in question is Kate Shortland, the director behind Berlin Syndrome is her other film, and she's noted for, but she's going to held Black Widow, which is really exciting.
Yeah, and that announcement news is in no way time to try to distract from other news about the star of the Black Widow film.
I'm sure it had nothing to do with Scarlett Johansson and her awful decision making that she keeps doing.
At least she quit the movie after. Oh my god! Like
for those of you who are missing the reference here, Scarlett Johansson, decided to sign on to play a trans man in a movie directed by the same guy who directed Ghost in the Shell. She learned nothing.
Yeah.
Her agent learned nothing. No one learned anything.
Yeah, it's this movie Rub and Tug is a biopic about a real person, a real trans man who...
a real overweight trans man.
Yeah.
I want to point that out. Because this wasn't just trans erasure, this was fat erasure too.
Yeah. She initially doubled down with criticism and like dragged out like... Well, you know, people weren't with Jared Leto, and you know, except Jared Leto has literally said that if he had been cast in that role again, he would have refused to do it.
Because... Also, point out that some people were upset with Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, no, they were. She brought up Jeffrey Tambor. I'm like, don't bring up Tambor.
Mm-hmm.
He is not Jeffrey Tambor is not a guy who you want to invoke as part of your defense for any decision you make right now. I'm just saying,
certain that this was a way to try to rescue her career from the bad backlash that she got from that terrible decision.
Well, because it's with Ghost in the Shell, that was an attempt to be a blockbuster film, and so since most of the general public doesn't really care about whitewashing, it didn't damage her career, but the fact is that Rub and Tug was effectively, it's an Oscar bait movie, and if the very people who, the only people who are going to go see a movie about a trans man are usually the pretty left-wing people anyways, and also those are the same people you're trying to court and make sure they show up for your woman-led superhero movie, that's the core demographic for both of those films who they would be simultaneously offending. So, she at least after doing ScarJo standard, dig in the heels and defend the awful decision, At least someone, like maybe a publicist or her agent, said, "Oh my God, what the hell are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone in marketing. Oh, Scarlett Johansson, how I used to like you. Now I just want to see your Black Widow movie, but it's only because I like Black Widow. I don't like the actress who plays her.
I'm saying there was a time where I really respected this woman, and she just keeps doing terrible things.
She is the epitome of, like, from a position of privilege in a lot of these situations, without really understanding her own, like, it's amazing.
There's other things that I could get into that I'm offended by in her general behavior, but let's focus on the happy. Sure, the Black Widow movie's finally happening.
And it's getting a woman director.
Good. I was kind of hoping that maybe ScarJo would get bored with it and they could have a different actress play one of the other Black Widows, since there's several of them. I mean, but I know that's too much to ask, so fine.
Yeah. But yay.
Yay.
Whatever, it'll probably be a perfectly fine movie.
Yeah, well, it will be, but it doesn't change the fact that I don't know, I just have no faith in Scarlett Johansson as a human being anymore. You know?
There is nothing more... So... I have one more thing to get off my chest before we move on. And that was, in the initial backlash to this movie, I got into some heated debates with randos on the internet. And let me tell you two things. One, God, I wish half of these people would step up to defend actual trans people as much as they defended Scarlett Johansson signing on for this movie. And two, I burst so many people's bubbles when I brought up Ghost in the Shell and would get responses like, "Well, I didn't know she wrote and directed the movie." And I had to bring up, it doesn't matter if she wrote or directed the movie. She is the highest grossing female actor in the world right now. She can say no to any script given to her. She's one of the few actresses who can say no.
Yeah, this isn't like she's
There's no excuse.
She's not a newcomer who, like, had no experience. Like, the fact is that it's been pretty publicly stated that Scarlett Johansson helped pick the director for Black Widow. Like, she was part of the process of choose. She got to pick the director of the movie she was already starring in. All right? Scarlett Johansson has power in these sorts of decisions, and she doesn't need the money. Like, that's also the thing. It's like, for the art house films, you do that because you want to play that role, not because you're getting paid a lot of money to do it. You know what I mean? And it's like, she chose that role. And I always use the example, though, of Ed Skrein, who was cast in the Hellboy reboot as a character, and he was not familiar with the comics, and when he found out the character he'd been cast in was ethnically Asian. He immediately quit the movie and made a big deal about it, so the studio was effectively forced to cast an Asian actor. Like,
good on it.
And Ed Skrein is not he's not Scarlett Johansson. Like, he is a person with a lot less power, where he could screw his own career by pissing off the studios. And, like, he had the guts to do that. So, like, Scarlett Johansson, in my opinion, has zero excuse. And that's, yeah. Boom.
Completely agreed.
Yep.
Completely agreed.
But, you know, it's...
freaking bull crap.
It's always great when a bunch of cisgendered people tell you what trans people should and shouldn't be offended by.
Yeah, let me tell you. Yeah, it's a great feeling.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yep, totally.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Great.
Else is not a great feeling.
Mm.
Incidents. happen at convention.
Really, Gen?
An incident. You know what's not a great feeling? An incident. That, you know, I know where the story. I know where the story is going, but that could mean so many things.
I know. Incident. Capital I. Or it could turn out to be okay. As is with this situation. So Kineticon had an altercation outside the convention. Over, it seems that a fight broke out on a pedestrian bridge nearby, coinciding with local fireworks. And unfortunately, there was a large crowd, there was lots of chaos, and a lot of people ended up assuming the worst. There were tweets going out with the words active shooter being tossed around, and that is a very scary thing to hear and see when you are at a convention.
Yeah. So, it, like, this happened, like, around, we think, 8:20 at night. And it's, like, there was a fight on the pedestrian bridge right at the exact same time as fireworks. And people thought it was an active shooter. Like, attendees were effectively stampeding. Thankfully, no one was injured. As far as we've been able to find out, people were in lockdown. The convention, thankfully, did, like, get out on social media within 10 minutes and, like, put out announcements that, there is no active shooter. Like, there were still people who thought it was an active shooter after the convention clarified. And so it's, like, I wrote up a story on nerdandtie.com because while it was happening, I logged onto Facebook while I was... watching TV, like, my wife and I were sitting down watching movies, and I think I was watching Despicable Me 3, and I just opened up Facebook on my iPad, and one of the people on Facebook friends, who's a vendor, like, posted something about how they were worried about people at Kineticon that they knew because they'd heard of an active shooter, so I, you know, went into overdrive in about 5 seconds to go find out what happened, and thankfully found out, you know, was able to pretty quickly confirm that it wasn't one, but like, it's the internet lit up. Thankfully, this happened at the end of the day for most of the stuff. Kineticon still had, like, overnight gaming happening, but all their main events are over by 8 o'clock, so this happened at like 7:20, not 8:20. My time zones got screwed up in my head here, so it's it's pretty harrowing, and it's kind of a scary thought that I think this happened because a lot of us who go to conventions are frankly pretty much worried about active shooter situations. These are large gatherings.
Oh, man.
Of people, and it's, we've seen it happen at concerts, we've seen it happen at schools, and we've seen it happen at churches, like, we've seen it happen at movie theaters, like, we've had situations thwarted at multiple conventions, be it the Pokemon World Championships, where the Boston PD thwarted one situation. There was another one at at the time, it was called Phoenix Comic Con. I keep forgetting what they changed their name to after the, you know, Comic Con stuff. Like, they narrowly averted a situation. Like, we've seen, like, really close calls. And the fact is that we live in a country where it's a very real possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's scary.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Yeah. And it's always that mob mentality that, like, to assume the worst.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we've all been through middle of the night fire alarm poles.
Yeah.
And like, just you're scared because you don't know what's going on. And you therefore you just kind of assume the worst, because if it's the worst, at least you're prepared for it. And if it's anything less, then at least it's not the worst. So it's just like...
But the worst has gotten worse.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. This is true.
It's gotten way worse.
Like, it was, what was it, 5 years ago with the fire alarm at GeekCon?
Yeah.
And then...
In the morning?
Yeah, the middle of the night, fire alarm went off. I think it was 5 years ago, something like that. But it was never a thought in my mind that it might be, like, anything worse than, like, a fire. Which,
yeah.
I mean, but now, if that happened now in 2018, I would be genuinely concerned. So
understandable.
It's a different world, and I hate it. I hate it so much.
Well, and good on the staff.
Yeah, yeah. They,
like, mm-hmm. getting the word
they
out.
They did a really
so
good
quickly.
Job.
Yeah. So yeah, the
like, hey, conventions. This is how you do it.
Yeah. This like, is an example of how to do things right.
You want to get your information out there quickly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was unpleasant.
But conventions can be pleasant.
They can be, you say.
They can be. Yeah. Especially when you correctly prepare for them.
My God.
How does one go about preparing correctly for a convention?
Well, usually you bring a backpack and you fill it full of all sorts of stuff you may need over the weekend.
Really?
I know.
This sounds like an excellent plan. We should share what we do to prepare.
I am doing really good segues, and you guys are patronizing.
I'm sorry.
Rude!
I just thought we were having fun. I'm sorry. I like your segues. You make better segues than Dean Kamen.
But no, all three of us have, like, and I'm sure many, 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 many other people do, but once you start going to conventions a lot, it becomes a normal thing in your life. You kind of just have, like, your one backpack, your one bag, your purse, your messenger bag, your whatever.
I like to call it your con carry.
Your con carry. Full of your items that you need over the weekend. And we thought we would share the stuff that we bring and talk about it, and that would be fun. So, who wants to start?
Oh, boy.
Nick sounds very excited. I can go.
I'm trying to think because I have a few con carries I have. So why don't you go first? And
well,
I'll...
First off, it depends on what I'm doing at the convention. Where if I'm attending versus staffing versus vending. Because weight becomes an issue if you're only attending. Like if you're staffing a con or vending as like an artist or vendor, you have home bases where you can put stuff down so you don't have to carry it all the time physically. So when I'm an attendee, I carry a much lighter bag than when I'm, like, there as an artist. So my essential con carry for attending is a messenger bag. And I just recently switched messenger bags. I've got my old one here, which is old, sad, and yellow. My new one's got lots more pockets. Either no matter what I have is, first off, I've got my tablet because I am incapable of being disconnected from the internet for more than 5 minutes. I also have, I've got in here some basic stuff, like I've got, a bottle of ibuprofen. I always have a bottle of something to drink. I should be carrying water, but I'm actually carrying Diet Coke. I've also got, like, I make sure I always have, like, random stuff, like pens and scissors, and because you never know when, like, you need to write something down. I also have, like, a Bluetooth keyboard for my tablet, because I never know when I need to type something. I've got, you know, I've got some random stuff in here. I've got a battery backup, like a little portable battery charger, like one of those little USB bricks. I've got one of those in case my phone is dying because convention centers have awful signal and drain batteries on phones really fast. So I always have an extra little battery thing with me. And that's what's on me. Like, that's effectively all I really carry when I go to, like, a con as an attendee. Is my bag is largely, like, has a lot of space in it. If I'm there as, like, an artist or something like that, I've also got, like, checkbooks. I've got my Bluetooth stylus for my pressure-sensitive stylus for my tablet. I've got... I have lots of things. I have every cable you could ever need. Yeah, it's... I have mini USB, micro USB, lightning cables, USB-C. I've got a portable surge protector with USB plugs in it, so I can charge any device known to man, even if it's not a device I have on me, because at some point one of my friends is going to need something charged. And so I literally have every format cable for charging in my bag. It is on me at all times. I also have a Bluetooth
speaker. Not a bad plan.
I also have a Bluetooth speaker, because why not? You never know when you need to EDM bomb someone by throwing a small speaker, blasting a 3-hour EDM song you wrote once for an April Fool's joke at them. That's the essential. When I've got a table, there's more crap.
Right.
Like my Switch. And these Switch Pro, my 8-bit Do SN30 and SF30 Pro controllers, which I have in nice little carry bags, which have a nice zipper here. Those go in with my Switch because they're my favorite controller for the Switch. And I've got enough room in here where if I'm really going out somewhere, I can put the whole docking stuff for the Switch in here in the bag, too. And I'll have, if we're doing a podcast, the digital recorder goes in here. And I always have a little stand for the digital recorder in my bag, so I never have to worry. I also have multi-tools. I have two multi-tools. And for reasons beside, I have a MIDI module that I can plug a MIDI keyboard into and a foot pedal
for.
Dear
God.
My bag is amazing. It is amazing, and it fits all this crap in all these little pockets and stuff.
I should have gone earlier, because my stuff is not that impressive.
I also have a wig cap in case I need a wig cap. I've got a harmonica in case I feel like busking. That's only halfway a joke. I have not busked in years, but I have busked. Not at conventions, because people who arbitrarily play music out loud in conventions are bad people.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's right. You guy walking down the hallway at a convention with your little speaker blasting whatever song you want to hear, and you're getting attention from people. You suck. You suck. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
I'm not a fan of that, but I'm even less of a fan of it in situations like what Gen and I had at Anime Iowa, where they were already piping in music, and there was this one jerk face across from us who felt the need to blast his own music, and I was just getting sensory overload.
Just
not
like,
cool, guy.
Well, it's like, I don't want to hear, like, it's a rude thing to do. Like... It's a rude thing to do to fill public space with music, and like no one people vending, like, so if another vendor starts playing music and you're vending, you can go have a conversation with them, or you can ask staff to have them turn it down, or like you can prepare for that, and like actually like there are things you can do. If it's just some jackass walking down the hallway blasting his Bluetooth speaker, you know, some random anime theme or meme that some jackass thinks is funny at that particular moment. Like, sorry. I got on a tangent there. Hey, Nick, what's in your con carry?
My con carry, just like, the general stuff that I have with me at the con is I don't usually have a whole lot, but it kind of depends on what I'm doing. I like having a bag with some basic essentials on me when I'm at the con, just in case I run into any bits of trouble. Usually I have something just to carry any random objects that I will either need for comedy bits that I'm doing, or sometimes cosplay props, depending on what I'm cosplaying. I like to have maybe a granola bar and some bottles of water on me, too, because I never know when I might get the munchies, and I don't like dehydrating.
Oh, yeah.
It gets a little bit more complicated depending on the cosplay, though. Like, you know, if I, for example, have a annoying, hard-to-deal-with wig or something, I might carry a ridiculous amount of bobby pins just to be safe. Like if I'm worried about, like on my particularly not presenting as dude days, I like to make sure that I have some just basic prettying up equipment just in case of emergency, an extra razor, definitely have my makeup pack just in case. So yeah, I don't usually have a whole lot on me at any given moment. I used to carry a lot more stuff on me, but I got old and lazy.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, it's like I take a bunch of stuff out of this bag when I'm if I'm gonna be like on my feet all day. It's like, it's such a variable based on environment, you know what I mean? If I think it's going to be an event where I'm sitting most of the time, I'll end up carrying more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because then I don't have to hold it. I also have scissors and this jeweler's screwdriver set, and I really should have gone last.
Yeah, probably, because I cannot believe all the crap you are toting.
It's, oh yeah, and my Book of Shadows. Look, you never know. Sleeping in a hotel room, you don't know what things are walking that hallway. You got to be able to ready to lock that shit down. And they're not going to let you carry an anathema. So, you know, I've got to come up with alternate energy work. I don't know. I'm a witch. What do you expect?
This is legit.
Like, I mean, actually, no, it's like, I'm, you see, you can't see because this is an audio podcast, but I'm, like, legit have in here my Book of Shadows.
I believed you.
Yeah.
And the sonic screwdriver's battery is dying, and it's making the most awful noise, and I can't find the button to turn it off.
I don't carry my sonic screwdrivers with me as much as I used to. That's kind of strictly for
the only reason
now.
why I have the version of the 10 screwdriver, not the 10, the 11 screwdriver that has the jeweler screwdriver set in it.
Okay.
And so that's actually why. It's because it's just an easy to, like, it just slots in a spot and it's easy to grab if I need a jeweler screwdriver, which I need
legit
more often than I think.
Legit.
Yeah. So that's this bag is, like, it's full of stuff.
How about you, Gen? What do you have in your con carry?
Well, I mean, as you guys were saying, it does mm-hmm. depend on what you're doing.
Right.
During the con, and usually I'm arting, but I'm also very particular about the kind of bags I have. I've always been partial, like, I'll usually go with, like, a backpack for the comfort, mm-hmm. To ease the strain on my shoulders. Otherwise, when I'm at, when I'm artist alleying, I have, it's a crossbody, but it's massive. It's big enough to hold my cash box.
Ooh.
which I keep in there.
You do have a small cash box, so that's like...
I do have a really itty-bitty cash box.
All my cash boxes are so much larger than your cash box, so my brain went to like, oh my god, that bag is huge. No, it's not.
No,
Ken has a small cash box.
Hogan is itty-bitty. but yeah, when I'm arting, I'll usually have... And like, a lot of the stuff that I need for my table, a lot of my random stuff, I'll actually have in my Artist Alley suitcase. So, like, my bobbins of thread, my scissors, all my signs, my pens and pencils, like, tape, all my extra crap usually goes in there, because in my, like, personal, you could call it my carry-on, I will definitely have phone, external battery, DS, cords for those. I always have a water bottle with me. Usually I'll try to pack some snackies. If I have any Nature Box goodies, I'll throw them in there. I do carry with me a tiny first aid kit type of thing. It's personalized to me, which means it's got a flossy toothpick in it. It's got some Pac-Man Band-Aids, some Tums Chewables, and a heck of a lot of Benadryl, because food allergies are a thing.
Smart.
Yeah.
I keep that with me all the time. I always have chapstick. I'm a chapstick person, so I always have a stick of chapstick in there.
Yeah.
And an extra hair tie.
So it's, I always have the only meds I always have ibuprofen, and then I have, because I take Prilosec, I always have that in my little side pouch.
Yeah, I'll usually take some ibuprofen as well.
Ibuprofen is how I get through conventions.
Right. And then I'll usually have my sunglasses, maybe a journal or a sketchbook in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's,
and then just like stuff I get over the weekend, small stuff will get thrown in there.
Oh yeah, there's every few months I've got to do the business card clean out. it's that thing where you take everybody's business cards and you have conversations. Someone gives you a business card, like you fully intend on looking at it later. You fully intend on like you know, maybe looking this person up, and then like 6 months later you open up your bag and there's the business card and you forgot about it, and it's like, what was this again? Who is... And I always feel guilty about it, but I'm like, well, I guess I give out enough business cards that there are probably people having this exact same experience with mine. And, it's... Yeah, they just litter my cash box at this point, too, also from my table. I'm just like... So, I don't ever throw them out. I have all the business cards I've ever been given. I just don't always know why I have them anymore.
Terrible person. Terrible.
So I don't know. It's so, I know, again, you mentioned using a backpack. See, I like a messenger bag mostly just because then, like, if I'm doing stuff, I don't have to take my bag off, especially when I'm walking around. Like, if I'm carrying, like, I usually have something to drink in there, and then I'll often have, if I'm attending, I will have snacks in there because I've freed up space. Like usually like a little bag of chips or something, or granola bars.
Yeah.
And I like being able to like just flip the lid, you know, flip the flap open, grab some stuff out, and then close it up without having to like dismount. Because I used to use backpacks when I was younger for this sort of thing. And when I say when I was younger, I mean like in the 90s, and it was always kind of a pain just like pulling the whole bag off my back every single time I wanted to like grab something out or put something in. And it also kept me from carrying as much stuff, because you can't fit as much in a messenger bag as I can in a backpack. So imagine all that crap you just heard me talk about, like, except imagine more.
Dear god.
Yeah.
See, I vary depending on the situation. Sometimes I messenger bag, sometimes I backpack. I'm not very consistent.
My saving grace is that my backpack is really small. but I do have I used to do like large messenger bags all the time because that's what my laptop would fit in.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, I had a set of messenger, like, because I used to, you know, now I bring tablets to cons, but I used to bring my laptop to cons. And I wasn't a huge, like, my laptops were never huge. I was like 12 or 13 inches, depending on the laptop. I mean, to be fair, you know, in the early 2000s, that 12-inch laptop was huge physically because laptops just used to be bigger. But, like, my computers have been pretty, you know, pretty reasonably sized since the mid-2000s when I switched to Macs. But I used to rock these, these yellow Anvil messenger bags, which you used to see everywhere just because Cafe Press used to sell different designs on them. And I own two of them, and between the two of them, they were my main bags. Like, I literally was using one of these. They don't make them anymore, which made me really sad because I kind of wanted a new one because my second one's starting to fail, and it was my convention bag up until No Brand Con this year. It was my messenger bag up until this last April because it's just these things. The only problem with the Anvil bags is that, like, while there's, like, an outside pocket, like, and there's, like, a back flap in there, which, like, was great for separating my laptop, it's just one giant big pocket for most of the stuff. And
yep,
so, like,
I have two of those.
And so,
I rocked for a long time. So,
like, whenever I wanted anything, like, I'd have to rummage around in it and, like,
yeah.
It took forever, and, like, there's my wife's badge from KuroshiCon that she didn't go to. here's my ASEN exhibitor badge.
It was great how much crap you could fit into them, but they got so goddang heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's
especially for being on one shoulder.
It's true. First off, you have to crossbody. You have to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to, like, well, but it's a way less.
I'm too short not to.
Okay. That's... You know that those straps can be shortened, right? They're adjustable.
I just always crossbody everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, well, for me, crossbodying is harder because I'm really tall. So actually, like, when I bought my new messenger bag, that was, like, actually, like, making sure the strap was long enough because I actually did try to replace this at one point with a Blue Sun bag that the ThinkGeek was selling for a while, and the strap was just too short and I couldn't crossbody it, and I just couldn't use it as a messenger bag, and I had to part of it ripped, and I just gave up on it altogether. But, like, that thing was my con bag for, like, one Daisho con before it was just, like, unmanageable. But, like, it's the big problem is with these Anvils, because they have the big pocket, though, is if you have, like, anything, like, say you've got a bottle of, like, ibuprofen in there, and you've also got, like, the cords for a laptop, and, like, like, you know,
just good luck finding anything in there.
And so you're always, anytime you ever need to find anything, you're digging for 5-10 minutes, like, and then
plus you've got that huge flap, because you're holding the flap up against you with one hand, and you're digging around with the other hand.
Yeah. Well, and it means you're pretty much digging blind. Like, your choices are either hold up the flap or let it fall back over your arm while you dig, and then you can't see anything. And so it's like, I loved those bags because they could carry a lot, and, like, even the one I just, like, stopped using, like, there's a little rip on the flap pocket, so I couldn't use the flap pocket anymore.
They're still, like, durable.
But there's no holes in the main carrier. And this is the one that I had since the mid-2000s. So, like, I'm now switched out to a messenger bag with, like, a lot of different pockets. And I've just been loving the organization because, like, I have some stuff in the main pocket. Like, but honestly, like, most of the time, like, when I went to ASEN, I had this bag, and, like, in the main pocket, there was just, like, hardly anything because everything was in, like, the side pockets, you know? So
a likely story.
Three of them.
Yes, it is a likely story. I've been using it as a bag. So it's, I love a good messenger bag. Like, I'm glad to have pockets now, but that's why I like a messenger bag over a backpack, because I guess is what I was saying.
Yeah. Well, the thing purse, technically, that I have. I don't know why, but I've always hated the term purse. But that's technically what it is. The one that I've got is small enough that it's easily manageable, but big enough to hold a lot of shit.
Just call it your decorative sack.
Right? It is bright, bright orange.
It's your decorative
sack.
Can
confirm.
That's a hard yes.
If you need to find me at a convention, look for that bag.
I think you'll probably more easily notice because you look like Gen. Gen is a...
looks like Gen, but is it?
I haven't found a doppelganger for Gen yet. That's just all I'm saying. Like,
I've had people mistake, like, me and my friends as sisters, like, so often in my life. That's funny.
I used to get into, like, actually, there was, like, a period in my life, so when you have long hair and a beard, apparently people only recognize the existence of long hair and a beard. So, like, in my early 20s, I had this one week where people kept, quote-unquote, recognizing me and walking up to me. Like, I was in Walgreens, someone said, "Mark?" And I'm like, no. And then, on my way home, this other random person walked up and went, "Dave?" And I'm like, "Definitely not." And, like, literally, like, I had this, like, string of people one summer kept mistaking me for, like, people they knew. And I don't... very strange. It was only really weird because it was in a neighborhood I grew up in. So, like, and no one mistook me for me or recognized me as me.
Well, I keep getting related, like, accidentally related to people.
Well, you've been related to me.
Yeah.
As you are my daughter, Kyle?
Yep.
Question mark?
I pronounced the
audible
question mark.
Question mark. I know, I like saying audible question mark because it's... yeah. It really is.
But to be fair, you kind of look like my mom, so that's...
and you look similar to my dad.
Maybe we are related. Are the Procs and Dorns related?
I don't know.
What's your ethnicity?
Bavaria.
You know, Dorn's a Bavarian last name.
Brock's a Bavarian last name.
Although more of my ancestry comes from Prussia.
Technically, I mean, it was the Prock brothers, but I do have ancestry with the Betzels and the Hublies.
To be fair, you look more like the Deline Kachuk side of my family, Larson, than the Dorn side of my family. Although your height's more in line with the Dorn side of my family.
My height's not in line with the Procs, though. Procs are tall, big people. And I got...
The Dorns...
I'm short.
The Dorns proper are a short people. My mother's side of the family, though, are a tall people. Because we're all the Swedes.
There's, like, although... big, tall people on both sides of my family. My mom was just freaking tiny when she was my age. Oh my gosh. Like, she showed us, like, her wedding dress. And she's a good, like, way too small than me and my sister. She was absolutely minute. So that's
this
where,
is...
like...
wow. The thunder of typing.
Sorry.
As we have now bored Nick into having other online conversations.
Yeah, it's not actually... sorry, I got an email back from somewhere I'm interviewing with, and it was... it's kind of important.
You know, we're on a show right now.
Yeah, but interviews are more important.
But, like, I have a job that makes me want to smash my head into a wall, so...
Right. I just didn't know if you'd want to tell our audience at home about that. Yeah, no one listens to us anyways. Except for, you know.
Oh,
except for.
I'm sorry. That
was no, you're fine. Oh my gosh.
My God, man.
No, it's good. I'm glad.
We're all very happy.
We're all very happy for you.
We have really gone out way. So what we carry to conventions is ourselves, really. I think that's the lesson. If we go to conventions, well, we aren't other people. We don't have other things. We bring who we are and all of our experiences up to that moment. And I think that's the real convention carries for the friends we made along the way.
Oh yeah, to be fair, of the projects I work on, this is the one where you get most of just regular Nick. This really is very little of, like, my character or anything like that.
Oh.
Oh. Hey, but.
Do we have more to talk about on the big topic, or should we move on to the mailbag?
I think we've... Does anyone have anything else? I don't really have much else to talk about, honestly.
I was just gonna wrap up.
Oh. Do it.
Wrap us
with
up.
Meaning that, like, you know, yeah, we have a wide variety between us of, like, what we bring. But generally, it's, like, you know, something to drink, medication of some sign, you know, technology. Because in this day and age, like, we're so connected to it that we can't tear ourselves away from it. But it's very practical. It's very, a lot of thought goes into con bags, into con carries. And so, you know, if you're looking, if you're listening to us and thinking about going to your first convention, like, take a bag of some sort, fill it with practical stuff, make sure it's not too heavy.
Yeah,
that's
important. The weight is important.
Yeah, because your shoulders will get tired.
If you can't carry it.
It's true.
If you can't carry it for 8 hours, it's too heavy for you.
Yep.
It's there's a reason why a lot of my wife's stuff ends up in my bag.
So yeah, I was just going to
bring it all together.
And that.
Before we started talking about whose family's from Bavaria.
Well, I was going to stop talking about the convention carry bag and move on to the mail bag.
We never discussed who was going to read the mail in the mail bag.
I never said there was mail. I just said there was a bag. So that was making a delightful little, like, leap from one bag to the other.
Oh.
There's a bag thing. I can read the mail bag.
It looks, because it looks like Corfan decided to play along with our fake anime and treat it like it was real.
Yay! I'm delighted by this.
Maybe he ripped a hole in dimensions and went to the universe ready. Anyway. Subject! American Independence Anime! From KORFan. I enjoyed your discussion last episode of the various anime covering the American Independence. There was no doubt you would bring up the wildly popular 13 Stars and its Patomex. I'm sure we all remember seeing the convention banners proclaiming death to New Albion, praise the Gallic Nebula for their aid. Wonderful. It was before your time, so you folks didn't see much of it, but the period piece mech anime you mentioned was called Wooden Suits and Iron Men. I've provided a photo of one of the games that got translated to English.
So I didn't send on this picture to Gen and Nick, but he did send a scan of the cover of an RPG manual called Wooden Suits and Iron Men, which in real life was like a steampunk expansion for an existing RPG. But he did send, he sent visuals.
I don't think you should have omitted Colonial Crusade Columbia. Yes, the storytelling style of showing the colonies as individual characters was later copied by Hitalia, which is why you left it out. But the story of the boys fighting to overcome the bully controlling the school was quite successful. The Hessian foreign exchange student even had his own merchandise line in spite of him siding with the bully. The Christmas episode from 3C is still shown at cons as an example of how wacky those could get, and I think your con borrowed my tape of it.
If only any of this was real!
Sports anime have never held my interest, but I think you were remiss when you failed to mention my soccer anime, Star Spangled Goal! With like 18 exclamation marks.
No, he used 13.
It says 13.
I'm sorry. This is why I need to read them before I read them out loud. I'm actually making fewer verbal typos than I normally make. Congoers were so inspired by Coach Ben Franklin, they ran their own soccer games at conventions, and it included the iconic scene of Cornwallis walking back to center field after the goal with a dejected Yankee goalkeeper kneeling in front of a net with flames in the background. All in all, I'm glad we took the time to explore this niche anime subgenre.
If only any of this was real. I would watch all of these shows.
I would too.
Those sound fantastic.
They sound better than Passion Gunshi.
People should do fan art of these too.
Yes.
I'm just saying. That was amazing. Oof. I don't know if we have any other comments to make about the mailbag there. So
no, I just okay. That was a fantastic letter, KOR fan. It still took me down a trip down memory lane of weird anime merch that I've encountered over the years. So even that was just made me happy, just put me in a happy place.
All right, and with that we move on to the final segment of the show, the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. That's right, the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is the part of the show where I read a line from a book, and the challenge to you, the listener at home, is to guess what book I am reading from. If you guess correctly, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The benefits of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. 1, we put your name on the website. 2, we read your name on the episodes. And 3, somewhere deep inside, you'll become a better person one day. You'll realize, waking up in the morning, that you don't recognize the person you were before you were in the Hall of Awesome. This is your new reality now. This is all you have ever known. This is all you ever will know. So, the current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. Arkamai, Zero, Renan, Senti, Cheesy McDamu, Christo, Slither D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lilysaurus, Paper Godzilla, Cavzy, The Minnesota Librarian, Sean Orange, Keith Shizuo, and Sakura Sunset. Now, to lift up the book that I've been reading for the last few episodes and open up to a random page. Oh, I don't want to give anything away here. Now gather round, ye pilots, good and true, for here shalt thou a goodly lesson learn. If you know a book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com, click on the contact form, and tell us. Or if you'd like to give us any other, you know, feedback, tips, comments, speeches about your own German ancestry, or frankly, if you want to go back to the main topic of our show and actually tell us what you carry at conventions, you know, what you keep in your con carry, or what you don't, and what you think is stupid that we keep in our con carry, tell us. We want to know. We want to hear your voice. You can either go to nerdandtie.com/contact, fill out the form, or you can call us at area code 414-375-0480 and leave a voicemail, and we'll play your voice right here on the air. You know, like a person. It's very exciting.
Yep.
Exciting as it gets.
Probably get us out of here again.
And were Nerd and Ty. I was one third Genjamin.
I am three quarters Trey Dorn.
And I am an antimatter version of Nick Izumi.
And remember, you can always subscribe to the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on really anywhere that podcasts are served. It was free by filling out RSS feed. You can find it at nerdandtie.com. And remember, you can rate and review us on those services so other people find us more likely in algorithms. It's a magical, magical thing. Remember, you can follow us on social media. On Twitter, we are at Nerd and Tie. On Facebook, we are /NerdandTie. We are nerdandtie.tumblr.com. Remember, you can support the show financially either by sponsoring episodes. You can donate to our legal fund at gofundme.com/nerdandtie. You can contribute to all three of us directly financially. Nick Izumi has a Patreon at patreon.com/Nick Izumi. I have a Patreon at patreon.com/TREGORN.
And I have an Etsy store. Ocelot Dude Designs on Etsy.
And
check it out.
And that is a way you can help all of us out. Remember, wear your pants, wear your hats, and whenever you can, deep down in your hearts, remember, absolutely no one knows how that sloth got in your closet. It's not my fault.
Wow, that's a... I don't even... Keep on spocking in the free world, I guess.
I'm just saying. And once a sloth moves into your closet, there's nothing you can do about it. Just absolutely nothing. He will... Have you seen the size of the claws on those things? They are just... It just hangs there and makes annoying sounds. And then you have to feed it or else it's going to come out... Like, you got to make a decision then. Like, do you want the sloth in the closet or do you want the sloth in the rest of your apartment? It's a conundrum.
Conundrum.
If you'd like to draw fan art of sloths in Nick Izumi's closet, please send it to us at tips@nerdandtie.com over email. If you'd like to put a sloth in Nick Izumi's closet,
please don't.
Send a private message to the Nerd and Tie Facebook page or to us on Twitter, and I'll totally give you his address. And
oh, God, why?
And where to find the spare key to get the... And his work schedule, so you know how to get the sloth in there. While he's you know, sloths aren't just for Christmas.
That no one wants those.